the union is hearing for Springfield, Ohio, Master Commissioner George M. Hallswood, will now open the floor to adjournment.
Thank you. We are here today to prove the facts in this case or in this matter. We've been going through it for the last couple of years, and we're hoping today that we'll prove our point and the facts we stated to the Department of Taxation a year ago and 2 years ago. So that's why we're here this morning. Over the law a little bit, and we can briefly go over some of them. The facts are, in 1993, I did purchase a supermarket up in Cleveland, and I took over in 1993. In 92, we incorporated in Mississippi Inc. for that particular venture. I was the sole stockholder of Mississippi Inc. Roughly a year later, after I purchased the business, I sold that business to Anthony Pendleton. We have a purchase agreement. What I'd like to do this morning, just go and go over the state of Ohio, I guess, or the tax commissioner. I'm looking here at their statement of facts, and I looked at their argument. And real quick, I'd like to go over their statement of facts that it's all assumption. None of it in reality is true or it's facts. For example, they talk about Mississippi Inc. doing business at Woodhill ShopRite and has the active Ohio vendor license for that particular period. That's true only for the first year. Mississippi Inc. has the vendor license 1993, I believe, 94. Once we sold it, and we have proof from the city of Cleveland that 664 Market Inc. applied for their own vendor license. Second, the biggest argument we had, I'm sorry? Yes, sir. I feel the decision should be reversed because the decision was based on wrong information, and I don't think that's justified even by law, because I'll move on. But the same, I mean, I'm just going over what the state of Ohio, I mean, how they based their decision, and that's what I'm trying to cover, that all the points they have are not valid. Number two, they talk about their liquor license. Mississippi Inc. did have liquor license when I purchased the business. And we have, again, an application. I heard it from day one that you should have transferred the liquor license. And when I sold the business, in the purchase agreement stated that the purchase agreement or the sale of the business is not contingent upon transferring the liquor license. and they're supposed to apply for the liquor license. And we do have application signed by Anthony Pendleton to transfer the liquor license to 664 Market Inn. So that will cover the liquor license. The liquor license was never transferred. There's nothing I can do about that. They did have application. The application's dated. And 2 years later, they were rejected. Okay. So that's very much cover the point where they talk about the liquor license. My understanding that the reason I'm responsible because Nisebe Inc. held the liquor license. That's not true. Nisebe Inc. held the liquor license for the first year. Actually, I have names that after 1995, Nisebe Inc. has nothing to the liquor license was not even renewed. And we do have the application from 664 Woodhill or Market Inc. And I thought we introduced everything. We do have copy. We did receive copy from the state of Ohio, the liquor department, for the application that they applied to get their own liquor license, which was dated, I believe, 1995, November 1995. Okay. The tax commissioner referred to RC 5739.33, which is any corporation, limited liability, or business that's required by returns and remit sales tax due to the state under the provisions, and if the employee has control or supervision. Now that's part of the point I was going over, that I did not have anything to do with Whittell after I sold it to Anthony Pendleton. Very much they talk about authority for check writing. I was not even on the account. I never went to the store after I sold for the business. For Nisebe Inc., even after they sold the business, I never dissolved the corporation. At that time, I still till today, I don't think there's a law that makes me dissolve corporation just because the corporation sold the business. So Nisebe Inc. existed even after I sold the business. And another thing that we pointed out earlier, I had some other interests in some other businesses. My main business at that time was insurance agency. We bought Woodhill ShopRite, we bought Beauty Shop, and I still in the insurance business. We bought Ponderosa's. So the grocery store was not my business, was not the main business. It was an investment just like the beauty shop, and I sold it a year later. The other thing, they have 6 points, and like I said, I can today prove that none of these points are valid. They are true to a certain extent for the first year. They talk about the whole period. That is not true, and like I said earlier, we do have proof that's not true, such as the vendor license, the liquor license. They talk about Mr. Nisebe has the excellent, very good point. Nisebe Inc. Did you look at them? Right. Right. That's about the purchase agreement or the I have to see it. Okay. I would like to go over that real quick. If I remember correctly, with the purchase agreement, I was told that you have to have a management agreement to give them time to apply for the liquor license, so the liquor license will be transferred to the new company. Meanwhile, that they can use Nisebe Inc. liquor license till the transfer happened, and the only way to do that under management agreement. Right. And I like to go back to the point, which I think is an excellent point, very much the tax returns. I went over them. I mean, there's so many of them. And like I said, I challenged the state, the Department of Taxation, if they can prove on any of these tax returns that my signature appear once, not two or three times, once. My signature, I went over all of them, does not appear once on any of these tax returns. Well, that's why I'm going over. We shouldn't be liable because I didn't own the business at that time. The business was sold. They did have their own federal ID. They applied for federal ID. They received their federal ID. They have their own checking account under their name. They applied for vendor license. They applied for liquor license. They applied for food stamps license. Everything was done the way it's supposed to do. After I saw that, I never went back there. Like I said earlier, I have other businesses. If other people were signing my name, I didn't know that then. I just found out that when the problem started. I like to give my wife a couple minutes. Okay, and under the Ohio Code 4301-1-114, which allows transfer from Mr. Holder for another, with a bona fide sale, made in good faith without fraud, which that's exactly what we did with the purchase agreement. And we do have the purchase agreement, the management agreement, we have the application of for transfer of liquor license that was done after they purchased the business, articles of incorporation, federal ID number, bill of sale, and another point that we have here, I did receive, with the purchase agreement, the state tried to prove that it was not valid, which that's absolutely ludicrous. I did receive a down payment of $20,000 that we gave copy of the check that I received. What we're trying to prove here today, like I said, the truth, what happened. Why did somebody sign my name? It's beyond my control. I mean, there's nothing really I can do. If I'm in Canton, Ohio, in my office, in my insurance agency, I don't know. If somebody signed my name, I cannot control that. There's nothing I can do about that. The truth is, and the fact is, that business was sold within a year after I purchased the business. They did, or they tried to do everything right. I tried to do everything right. And I still talk today, I believe I did everything right. The liquor license is the only holdup, and they did apply for liquor license. And they did apply for liquor license after they purchased the business. They have their food stamps license, they have their federal ID number, they have their own checking account. And another thing with Ms. Barber. These are not my signatures again. And they are not. And it's very easy to tell. Actually, when we met the last time and we were in front of other magistrate, he could tell that the signature was not even close. I mean, 7, 98, and 97. I mean, it's not even close. Any individual can tell it's not the same signature. You don't even need an expert to tell us that. And another thing that, in conclusion, the Department of Taxation, they have a case in their argument, which I thought actually it's very funny because it has nothing to do with it. It's not even close to our situation. And in Parrish, DBA, Rose Room, that's what the Department of Taxation used for their argument. And actually, the first point I'd like to mention real quick, they said here that the whole deal with Parrish was oral business agreement. We didn't have oral business agreement. We have everything signed. We have it witnessed by Nori Public. So that's the first point. The second point under Parrish that he wants to keep or to hold the vendor license and to hold the liquor license and they can operate under that. I did exactly the opposite. I told them they have to get their own and they did. So there's not even close. They applied, sir. They applied. But that's not under my control. I mean, if I could have signed it to them, I would have. They did what they're supposed to do. They applied to the state. It's up to the state to give it to them or not. In the purchase agreement states that the sale is not contingent upon the transfer of liquor license, because I knew they could have problems. Or that's what my attorney told me, and that's why we put it in the purchase agreement. Even Ms. Barb agrees that, for the example with Paris, that's not even similar to my situation, but that's what they used as their argument. That's why they shouldn't reverse their decision. And just like I pointed out, we're comparing apples to oranges. I mean, there's nothing. In Paris, it was oral agreement. Mine, I have the purchase agreement. I have a lease with them. In Paris, they're saying that Paris wants to keep the license and the vendor license. In my situation, was the opposite. And another thing, the only place my signature on the papers we get, such as the purchase agreement and the legal, legit paperwork. Another thing the state uses is Woodhill Shop Right for the lorry. And again, that is not my signature. The copy they have, that's another point the state used as well with the lottery, and we have papers dated May 97 to the Ohio lottery. Still, that's not my signature. And like I said earlier, I cannot control. I don't know. I didn't know then. And there's nothing I could have done. What was going on, who was signing my name. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And like I said, the gentleman who was our magistrate at that time, he actually laughed at it. Because all what you need to do, look at the, my signature, even at the paper we gave to the state of Ohio recently, you can go over 50 of them, it's not even close. I mean, he laughed, he thought it was funny, because whoever signed my name, his remarks were like he thought they didn't finish third grade, because you can tell they couldn't even spell my name correctly. We did brought that out a year ago when we met in March. And we pointed out, I cannot remember the thing with the lorry, but we pointed out on the tax returns that was not my signature. And still till today, if the state of Ohio can prove it is my signature, then I'm guilty. But I know they cannot, because it's not my signature. I didn't sign for the tax returns. I didn't sign for the lorry. The only thing I signed, the purchase agreement, when we signed it, and after that, I was completely out of the picture. The other point, they emphasized the point that corporation, and I looked at the law, you stated earlier, you go by the law, and the law states, my understanding for the law, like I said, I'm not a lawyer, that if you have any involvement in the business, all right, I'm sorry about that. If you have any involvement in the business, if you are if you receive any income from the business, if you are on the paycheck, none of that applies to me. After I sold it, I didn't even go back. Thank you.
May it please the court. In this matter, Nusebe Inc. is the proper vendor, and Mr. Nusebe is a responsible person under 5739.33 for the following two reasons. First, Nusebe Inc.'s vendor's license and liquor license were used to make the sales assessed in this case. During the audit period, Nusebe Inc., doing business as Woodhill ShopRite, possessed the only valid vendor's license and liquor license for making retail sales and selling beer and liquor at the premises. Therefore, Nusebe Inc. is the proper vendor in this matter. Secondly, when Nusebe Inc., doing business as Woodhill ShopRite, defaulted in its sales tax obligations to the state, Mr. Nusebe, as founder, sole owner, and sole officer of Nusebe Inc., was properly assessed derivatively as a responsible person under 5739.33, because during the audit period, Mr. Nusebe had the responsibility for filing sales tax returns, making sure that the payments were properly remitted to Woodhill ShopRite. I also want to bring to the court's attention, before moving on in my argument, a argument made in the reply brief filed with this court in particular, it's page 15 of the reply brief. At that page, Mr. Nusebe brings up a new complaint, a new assignment of error. It's a little hard to understand, but he's using BASIC, the BASIC distribution case that was argued before the Court of Appeals about a year or so ago, and the decision rendered by the Court of Appeals. Mr. Nusebe is relying on that Court of Appeals case for some type of complaint about his taxpayer bill of rights. But as the court's already aware, that decision was reversed. But more importantly, any new complaints being raised by the appellant would not be justiciable before this court. The case Leonard v. Lindley, as I cited in my brief, would just be one of many cases in which this board's explained that principle. Now, the weight of authority says we must look to the facts to determine who the vendor is. So here, we have to ask ourselves, who owned the premises? Who owned the valid vendor's license? Who owned the liquor license? Well, the answer to that question is Nusebe Inc. did. In 1994, Nusebe Inc. applied for the vendor's license. And as there was discussion earlier, attached to Mr. Nusebe's reply brief are a stack of tax returns. Now, while those returns were not properly admitted into evidence, those returns do indicate, as you indicated, Your Honor, that each and every one of those were filed under Nusebe Inc.'s vendor's license. Also, sales made and returns were filed under the vendor's license. Those were the sales that were assessed. Nusebe Inc. was aware of its statutory duty, and that was admitted to in the management agreement that Mr. Nusebe signed. A copy of that's in the supplement at page 54. Nusebe Inc. consented to use of its permits by third-party others, and that can be found in the management clause of their purchase agreement, and that's at the supplement, page 82. So they were aware of their duty, and they consented to other individuals using their permits. They are the proper vendor because the vendor's license was the only valid license for that premises for making sales. Now, as far as... for any other vendor's license? No, Your Honor, there was not. Nor was there any evidence presented of any applications for a vendor's license, other than the one vendor's license that Nusebe Inc. applied for, which is in the supplement at page 112, and it's at the statutory transcript, page 101. Now, Mr. Nusebe is a responsible party under 5739.33 for several reasons. First of all, Nusebe Inc. was required to file returns, as we've already indicated. Under 5739.33, one of the elements of finding a corporate officer liable is first at least finding the corporation that he's an officer for liable for having to make sales tax payments and filing sales tax returns. Here, as the vendor, Nusebe Inc. was the liable corporation. Mr. Nusebe was responsible for filing sales tax returns and making payments. He was the president, he was the founder, he was the sole owner. On some of the documentation submitted under the tax commissioner's exhibits A and B at the board, it's even indicated that he's a treasurer. He's the only individual, he had sole effective legal control over Nusebe Inc. He applied for the vendor's license, the liquor license, and the Ohio Commission license. Now, there's been some discussion from Mr. Nusebe this morning about all these documents that he claims don't bear his signature. I would like to direct the court's attention to page 43 of the board transcript, actually beginning with page 43. And if you read the pages from there, you will find Mr. Nusebe on cross-exam, admitting to signing tax returns, or excuse me, not tax returns, but the renewals for his liquor license, exactly. And he's admitting to 1994, 1995, 1996. 1997, he says he's not sure. 1997 through 1998, because the expiration date would have been September. So he's admitting that he applied for the liquor licenses to be renewed, and the Ohio Lottery Commission license, all of these Mr. Nusebe applied for in his capacity as founder and owner, exercising fiscal control over the company, his company, Nusebe Inc. Mr. Nusebe signed the management agreement acknowledging the sales tax duty of his own company. He signed that agreement, and a copy of that's at the supplement, page 54 through 55. Mr. Nusebe had knowledge of his statutory duty to file tax returns, and he had knowledge that his permits, his liquor license and his vendor license, were being used by others. He had consent and he gave permission for that. If you take a look at the management agreement clause in the purchase agreement, the potential buyer is agreed to be the agent for Nusebe Inc. for making sales of merchandise and for selling liquor and so forth. So Mr. Nusebe, by those terms, for on behalf of his company, did have knowledge and did consent to his permits being used by other individuals. This case is clear. Mr. Nusebe is a corporate officer. He is responsible because Nusebe Inc. defaulted in its sales tax obligations to the state. The case, a parish case that Mr. Nusebe cited to in closing, is a very good case for this court to look to. The parish case is probably the only case that this court has rendered that pertains to the question of who is the proper vendor when you have a third-party operator. And in parish, this court held, when you have a vendor who owns the only vendor license and the only liquor license that's valid for the premises that was used to make the sales at issue, that is the proper vendor for sales tax purposes. The fact that the vendor had oral agreements, in that case it was oral, with Mr. Nusebe it's written, that's a distinction without a difference. The fact that the vendor may have delegated the sales tax responsibilities to other people through oral agreements is of no consequence in terms of officer liability law. So, Your Honor, we ask that the Board of Tax Appeals decision be affirmed by this court. Thank you.
Again, she insists that I have the responsibility toward everything, and she's talking about the case, and she's saying it's oral, or it was in writing, and she's talking about the vendor license, liquor license, and like I said it earlier, in hours they did apply for their own vendor license, they did have it, they applied for liquor license, they have federal ID number, they have food stamp license, everybody admitting 664 Inc. was as a company operating the grocery store, except the Department of Taxation. The federal government knows that they did exist, the state of Ohio, everybody does, except Department of Taxation. The tax commissioner law, RC 5739.14, talks about the purchaser of the business or stock of goods fails to withhold purchase money, he shall be personally liable for the payment of taxes, interest, and penalties accrued and unpaid during the operation of the business by the prior owner. That's another law there. Thank you.